How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be discussing politics at all three levels of government. So, I guess we can start with the local level here. Flock Cameras has made it back to the city council. Also, by the way, I was watching the news when I was at my grandma's house today, and apparently the city council in Columbus is also holding conversations on the flock cameras. So, it seems we're not the only one. You can't seem to get away from the flock cameras. The flock cameras are back to city council now. I am unsure that they will have the votes to pass it. I think they have 3 votes, probably. Yeah, I mean, I think that the best chance they had to pass it was probably to put it up when it, came about originally, and to put it for a vote then, but I don't think the second should have been rescinded, but I suppose it was, and then this is where we're at. I think that the flock camera conversation at city council was, I don't know, I was at the city council meeting with the flock camera for the flock cameras, and the flock camera representative was there, but it seemed like most of the questions were still directed to the sheriff and the police chief. I think that it would have been more beneficial to direct questions to the flock representative, but I guess maybe people assumed that he would lie or something. I'm not really sure. What's up with that? One person asked the flock representative something or another, and then, I don't even remember what the question or the answer was, but the gentleman responded with, like, "So says flock." And, like, if you're not gonna believe anything the flock representative says, like, why, I don't know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to ask a question, I don't think. The answer is kind of irrelevant if you already know what you think, so I'm not really sure what's up with that, but, so, nonetheless, I think that the meeting was pretty beneficial. I mean, we did learn some things, like we learned more about how the sharing of info, the sharing of data from the flock cameras with other counties works. And other cities, I guess. We learned that, the sheriff said that next year there might not be any flock cameras due to funding, because he said that he thinks that, he finds it unlikely that we will be able to get, another grant for the flock cameras. So if that's the case, we could always end up getting them, I suppose, but if that's the case, then, what's the point in all of this? I suppose next year they could come back up. I mean, I suppose they could find money or get lucky and get the get a grant again. But I'm not really sure what I'm not really sure what the point of this is, I guess. I mean, I think that I don't think the ban is going to go through. I would think that if you wanted to do something to legislate the flock cameras, your best bet's to do something like require the flock cameras to delete the license plate information of anybody who's not already wanted by the police or has like a stolen car or like a warrant or something like that. So if, like, you were driving and it's going to read your license plate, the thing's just doing its job, and then after it reads the license plate, it'll determine whether or not you're wanted driving a stolen car, that whole thing, according to the database, and then if you're not, it will pretty much instantly delete the information. I think that'd be good. I don't know why that'd be a bad thing. I think that'd be... I'd be in favor of legislation like that. I'd allow the flock. I'd be okay with the flock cameras if the information was being deleted on a daily basis of people who weren't doing anything. It kind of does. It removes the whole thing of watching people who aren't doing anything wrong. I mean, you're being watched to some extent, but Again, the camera's just kind of doing its job. It's going to ping your license plate. There's nothing you can do about it pinging your license plate. But if you can prevent it from storing the license plate data for more than a day, then, you know, that's... I mean, it's basically the same thing as not... I mean, not tracking the data. And by the way, the legislation that I am referring to has come up in other cities, and it's more like it'll delete it within... I forget how it's phrased, but it's basically up to a day. So it could be, like, I don't know, seconds, however long it takes for the system to get to it, I guess. I don't know how that whole thing works or how you program the system to do that or anything like that, but I'm sure it could be done. It's been done elsewhere. So it could be done here. So yeah, I mean, that's about what I have to say on the flock cameras. I mean, if anybody else has anything to say that they would like to add to the flock camera conversation, or I guess any conversation in general and any of the conversations we are about to have, the phone number is 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. All right, so there are, speaking of the flock cameras, by the way, there have been people, I guess, destroying the flock cameras, defacing the flock cameras, vandalizing them, so on and so forth. I'm just as opposed to the flock cameras as anybody else, but do not, I mean, I don't know, I'm not your dad, I guess, but I would not recommend, I think it's a terrible idea to go vandalizing and or destroying the flock cameras. First off, it's a felony, so I would just avoid that. You know, felonies are bad. I don't know, I just don't see any benefit in destroying the flock cameras. You know, if it, I don't know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know what the assumption is of what it's gonna do. I mean, I guess maybe they're just gonna assume that the destruction of the cameras, the city or flock or whoever is just gonna decide that, you know, it's not worth it. But I don't know. Like I said, don't go destroying the flock cameras. Don't go defacing or vandalizing the flock cameras. You know, it's no good. Don't do that. It's very criminal, and I frown upon it. I got my stories mixed up. Usually I like to go, local, state, and national, so I gotta scroll down some here. But, gubernatorial nominee Vivek Ramaswamy said that if he's elected, he would halt new data center projects in Ohio until state lawmakers require data center owners to cover area residents' electric bills, ban data center tax abatements, and reroute the savings to homeowner property tax rebates, and enact new environmental safeguards. Okay. All of that sounds good. I'd be in favor of all of that. I don't know necessarily about forcing the data centers to pay for the locals, I almost said internet for some reason, the locals' electric bill, but I think it makes sense to add some kind of, like, stepped electric bill system. Just set, like, different, you know, it's kind of like a tax income. Or like the income tax brackets. You know, just set brackets, and if you're under a certain usage, like, you know, I don't know how many watts people use on average, I have not a clue. I'll be 1,000% with you. But under, you know, X number of watts used, or however they measured, I'd assume you watts, you know, then you pay X number of dollars, or it's probably cents or something, I don't know. And, you know, and then just things like that. I think that you could just step it up, and then, oh, look at that, the data centers are pulling absurd amounts of electricity. We're going to charge them at, like, I don't know, like three times the rate. I think that wouldn't be bad either. I just think that raising everybody's electric is not good. I think that the corporation should, could, and should pay for the the, I guess, extra energy they're using that was not previously being used. Now, as far as Vivek Ramaswamy goes instituting all of this, I don't think he would. I'll be honest, he's been a fan of the AI data centers in the past, or just the data centers, I guess. You know, they're always the AI data centers, but data centers. The data centers, I forgot what I was saying. Ramaswamy has been in favor of the data centers since, you know, he's been running. Now, this is the most he's said in opposition to them, but he said that, I mean, at one point he kind of tried to, like, toe the line, and he said something like, we need a governor who's not going to say no, none of that, but we also need somebody who's not going to let him run rampant. This is certainly more towards the no, none of that than the let him run rampant. I don't even think I just don't think that Vivek would do this. Now, he might, you know, maybe he's not lying, but I wouldn't see that happening. But if Vivek wins and that does happen, then good on him, and I think it would be good. But I think it'd just be better to make a stepped like utility usage billing kind of thing. Also, Vivek, I don't know if it was the same thing or not at the same time, but Vivek also said that he is willing to debate Amy Acton. I would love to see that debate. Now, we talked about it a little bit last hour. I think that Vivek would probably have Amy Acton in a debate. Amy Acton seems very mild. Vivek is very, I don't know, he hasn't been so much in this election, but generally speaking, he's been, vocal, very, very outspoken. And, you know, he's not that Amy Acton is not smart, but, Vivek is a pretty intelligent guy. I mean, I don't know where he went to school or anything like that, but, I would figure, I mean, he was on the presidential debate, you know, with you know, the whole gang. I mean, Donald Trump being one of them. And, you know, he pretty much campaigned like Donald Trump, which, you know, smart or not smart, he lost handily. I would love to watch Vivek Amy Acton debate. I think that would be very, very beneficial. You know, I don't know that it'll happen. I don't know if there's even actually been an offer or if he's just saying it. I don't think Amy Acton's campaign or herself or, you know, so on and so forth, anybody representing her has responded. But if it happens, I think it would be very good, very much worthwhile and worth watching. Speaking of debates, Sherrod Brown said that he assumes him and Husted will have a debate because I think he said that he's debated in the majority of his campaigns. So we might get a Sherrod and Husted debate. Now, I've given my my thoughts on Sherrod Brown. I mean, I like Sherrod Brown. I think that, you know, he's got the experience. He's done a lot of stuff and, you know, that whole spiel. But I do think Husted's not a good candidate. You know, I don't think he's done a whole lot. But I don't know. I also, I mean, he's, you know, he's charismatic to some extent, I guess. I mean, he's, you know, won a few times now. I do know he's the first energy shill. There's that. I don't like that. I mean, but I don't like that about DeWine either. But generally speaking, if DeWine could run for a third term, I'd probably be voting DeWine in this election. But, you know, with that being said, I guess we are at an interesting time, I guess, in the world of Ohio politics. We have two people running for governor who have no experience. And one of which is a doctor, and the other of which, funnily enough, is in the pharmaceutical business. So I don't know. I think that's fascinating. Now, I don't know how it's going to turn out. Christians seem to be pretty confident that, you know, that the Democrats were going to sweep Ohio. At least that's what he said. Now, I probably find that unlikely, but I do think Alison Russo has a pretty good chance, and I think Kulowitz has a pretty good chance. He's, well, both of them have experience and, you know, name recognition and you know, whatnot. So I think they'll do pretty good, but as far as the rest of the ticket goes, like Seth Walsh, I don't know that he'll do well. I think the Amy Acton race is going to be close. I don't know, I feel like I'm missing something. Anyways, yeah, I don't know, I feel like I'm missing a race in there somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, I just, I don't know that that's the case, but I think that there's, that this is the best chance they got to flip all those seats. But, you know, I think that's, you know, neither here nor there at this point. I guess we gotta wait till the election to find out, how that all turns out. But if you have anything you'd like to add, do feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right. Now, moving on to the national level of politics. Trump, not the president, signed a new executive order banning birthright citizenship just over a month after the 6-3 vote, which upheld birthright citizenship after Trump's, I guess, first executive order. Now, I figure this one's going to go by the wayside just like the first one did, so I don't know what the point was, but, yeah. I mean, I don't know really what there is to say. I mean, I don't know why Trump thought he'd get away with this one. I do believe his argument was something like, you know, the 14th Amendment was put there for children of ex-slaves, and, you know, that's the only reason it was put there, and everybody knows that, and, I don't know. I gotta see if I can't find his statement again, but that's pretty much what his logic was. But yeah, so I think that that it's just going to fail like the other one. I do know that the ACLU had words for Trump and his birthright citizenship. His birthright citizenship executive order. They said the Supreme Court has already decided the issue. Or this issue, birthright citizenship, is guaranteed by the Constitution. No additional executive order can change the meaning of the Constitution. Any executive order that tries to rewrite birthright citizenship will meet the same fate as the last one. Cody Wofsy, W-O-F-S-Y, Wofsy, Deputy Director of the ACLU's Immigrants' Rights Project. So, I tend to agree with that. I mean, I don't know why Trump would figure that this one's going to be upheld unless he, I don't know, did some arm twisting with the Supreme Court. But I think the Supreme Court is by far the most powerful body of people in the United States. I mean, sure, we got the president and, you know, that whole thing. But, like, I mean, the Supreme Court literally decides what is and isn't law. I mean, that's power right there. So I'm glad that the Supreme Court at least is upholding the or doing their best. I don't know. It seems sometimes they give in, but I don't know why. I mean, they're not, you know, it's not like they can be fired or anything like that. So I think you just gotta cozy up with Trump until you get the job, and then once you're in the job, he's you know, he can't fire a Supreme Court justice. So I don't know why they would remain loyal to Trump, I guess, at this point, unless they're just hardcore right Republicans. But I don't know, maybe they are. I mean, you know, Trump's been ruled against a few times now in the Supreme Court, so it wouldn't surprise me if they just did it again. Now, I don't know, maybe this is just like a stalling tactic of some kind, and he might just be throwing stuff at a wall until he finds something that sticks. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's ever read the 14th Amendment, but the 14th Amendment is pretty cut and dry. The 14th Amendment just says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person to within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Now, you know, the bottom one is just equal protection under the law, but the top portion there, all persons born or naturalized in the United States, period, boom. Well, it's not a period, it's a comma, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. But, it's, I don't know, seems pretty cut and dry to me, you know. All persons, you know, like, that. I think that does it right there. All persons born or naturalized, if you're born in the United States, I think that fits, born or naturalized in the United States. I don't know how you do away with that, but, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what Trump's expecting the Supreme Court to do here, or how he expects the Supreme Court to justify, but I love to read Supreme Court, I can't think of that. They have basically the majority decision. You can read like their decision. But I do believe they have some kind of special word for the Supreme Court's decision. Nonetheless, yeah, I mean, I like to read those. Those are interesting sometimes. I mean, I don't know. I think that Trump's pretty dumb for even trying again. I think it's a waste of time. But, you know, Trump can do what Trump wants to do, I guess. And I think it's going to get shot down again, like I said. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take for the Supreme Court take this one to trial. But, you know, I don't know. Last time they were in trial, they did like three or four things at once. I didn't know they did that. I'll be honest. I had only ever heard the Supreme Court going into session and like, you know, hearing like one argument. But I don't know, it was just, last time they were just popping them out. But anyways, today while I was reading the news, I happened to see this story from the BBC, which I thought was very interesting. Hunter Biden says in an interview with the BBC that though he is grateful for the presidential pardon, as his dad, or, you know, Joe Biden, was right about Trump using the DOJ for political retribution. However, he doesn't feel it was good for the country, the Constitution, or Joe's legacy. So, Hunter Biden feels that, well, he's obviously grateful that he was pardoned and, you know, that whole thing. But he does feel that it was not good for the country and you know, things like that. Which, I could imagine that's probably true. I mean, I was certainly unhappy when it happened, the Hunter Biden pardon. You know, I mean, you know, he said he would not pardon Biden. He said he would not pardon Hunter Biden, but the president did anyways and pardoned Hunter, or a former president, I guess, Joe Biden, pardoned his son. And that upset me. Hunter Biden, I guess, he himself thought that it was, I'm sure that he, given the chance, would, not ask his dad to go back. I assume he likes being free, but, like I said, he did say that he did not think it was good for the country, the Constitution, or, Joe's legacy. Which, like I said, I find that believable. I'm surprised he said it, though. I mean, to be fair, he was asked in an interview. I mean, what are you going to do? Say I'm not answering that? You know, something like, I plead the fifth to the BBC? I don't know. It's just I find that interesting that that Hunter Biden tends to think that it's. I don't know that he'd necessarily call it a mistake, but he feels it was not good for the masses, which I would call that a mistake. But I don't know that that he would necessarily classify it as that, seeing as he is the one who was pardoned. And I do believe that he's right. I do believe that Donald Trump is using the DOJ for political retribution. So I think that it probably ended up being for the better. Otherwise, there's a good chance, I think, that that Hunter Biden would be doing, like, you know, like a life sentence or something stupid. Or that they just, I don't know, tackle extra charges, maybe. I really couldn't tell you. But I do believe that it would have not ended well for Hunter Biden, and he probably would not have gotten a fair trial. I mean, you know, I don't know, Trump is a different kind of a guy. And, I mean, you know, he's tried to weaponize the DOJ, and has. So, it, like I said, I think that, I've probably softened on the view, but I do think that, that Biden probably still should not have pardoned, Hunter. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt. They investigated Hunter Biden so much, and then all they was ever to get on him was that gun charge.
Well, I mean, it was like guns with narcotics. So I mean, that's two separate charges.
He had narcotics too. I didn't think they ever got him for the narcotics.
Well,
I just thought they got him for a gun charge.
I'm pretty sure the gun charge stemmed from the fact that he, I mean, maybe he didn't have them, but maybe he was consuming. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know it had something to do with him having firearms and drugs.
Well, you could be right there, but, you know, the pardon Trump's put out, I mean, compares, you know, almost nothing compared to, you know, what the pardon Joe Biden put out. And then back in the Clinton days, they tried to get a Bill and Hillary for that white water stuff and all this crap. And the biggest thing they could give him on was having a blowjob in the Oval Office.
Well, that still sticks with him. I think that's the thing that the most people know about Bill Clinton. If you ask anybody what they know about Bill Clinton, I guarantee you that's going to be the like one of the first things, if not the first thing, almost everybody says.
Yeah, kind of his legacy.
Yep.
They'll know that before
Monica
they
Lewinsky.
Know
I guarantee you, they'll even tell you the name.
Yeah. They'll know that before they know that he was the only president in modern history to balance the budget.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sad. That's your legacy.
Well, you know, I guess, you know, you reap what you sow, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess.
By the way, I wanted to look it up real fast. He was accused, well, I guess he pled guilty to, so he falsely claimed he was not addicted to illegal drugs on a federal background check when buying a revolver in 2018. And then he was also charged with illegal possession of a firearm because he was actively addicted to or using a controlled substance. And he also apparently had tax evasion. He failed to pay taxes.
Well, that's a no-no, but Trump don't pay taxes anyhow, so why does it make any difference he pays taxes?
I mean, I'd rather they both paid taxes.
Well, I would, too. But compared to what Trump is doing, compared to what the Bidens did, it's, you know, it's almost like night and day.
What do you think about Hunter Biden saying that the pardon wasn't good for the country, the Constitution, or his dad's legacy?
I think he's telling the truth there. You know, there's something to it. You know, that's one thing. Joe Biden's always gonna bring up. You know, he lied because he said he wasn't gonna pardon him, and then he did, but.
Yeah, I was very upset by that. He said he would not pardon Hunter Biden, and then he pardoned Hunter Biden. That very upsetting.
Yeah. Well, give him one lie compared to the amount of lies Trump gets.
See, but the thing is, like during the election, I mentioned that Donald Trump lost. There seemed to be some kind of feeling that I was giving Donald Trump like the benefit of the doubt when he lied, and I was like, I just wouldn't vote for Trump. So if he lies, you know, like there was no chance I voted for him anyways. The man's gonna lie through his teeth. But I was like, there is a chance I could have voted for Joe Biden, and Joe Biden straight up lied to us, and he said, I'm not going to do this thing, and then he did it.
I wonder if Biden would have won if he would have stayed in.
You know, I don't know. After that debate performance, I mean, it was rough. it devolved into them arguing about golf at one point. I mean, it wasn't a good debate. You know, I guarantee you, anybody from a foreign country that was watching that debate, they thought we were a clown car.
Well, foreign countries think we are a clown. Especially after Trump.
You know, it's interesting. It doesn't happen very often because of the way, like matchmaking works on games. But sometimes when you play multiplayer games, you play with people from other countries, depending on how their, like, you know, lobbies work or whatever. And if you ever ask anybody about the United States who doesn't live in the United States, they all think we're, like, the most self-centered, like, people on Earth, and that we think, like, the world revolves around us or something. It's very interesting.
Well, we do. You know, we're spoiled over here compared to, a lot of countries. You go over in England, you know, gas is probably approaching $10 a gallon.
Speaking of England, did you hear that
United Kingdom.
Go ahead.
And, other parts of Europe, gas is probably close to $10 a gallon, if not right now. That's why they got a lot of small cars over there.
I don't know why we don't have more small cars over here.
Well, because, for one thing, people don't like them, and the government is not promoting smaller cars and electric cars and stuff. You know, Trump's took all funding for that stuff away. You know, all windmills, no, we can't have the windmills because they kill birds and they give you cancer. But I just hope we get a person in there that tries to do what's right for the country for once instead of what's right for them. You know, like the Obamas.
I like
Clinton,
Obama.
They did.
No, I'm too young for Clinton.
I'm not saying that they was the perfect people, but they was doing what was right for the country, too. Roosevelt, Johnson.
What was the first president you lived under?
Reagan was the first president I got to vote for, but I didn't vote for him. I forget who run it. Oh, it was, God, I can't think of it now. He died just recently. He's 100 years old.
Talking about Carter?
Yeah.
I liked Carter, too. I like Carter. I think Carter was a good... Because Carter was just a... He wanted nothing but peace, and he was on the outs with his own party sometimes because he kind of just did what he thought was right. You know, Carter was an independent thinker. I like that.
Yeah. And really...
And he put the Abraham Accords in place, which is still, to this day, I do believe, the only, document that's been held up. Maybe, because, the whole war with Iran and Hamas at this point. I don't know how the Abraham Accords are holding up, but...
It wasn't because of Iran that Carter would have a better legacy right now. Then he authorized that mission to go get him, and that totally failed, so... But that's really what brought his legacy down. But Carter was a good, decent, honest man. He's one of the last honest people we had in the White House. Truly honest people.
First president Well, the first president I was born, or the only, I guess the only, you know, you can only be born under one president. I was born under Bush.
Well, I was born in 61, so I was born...
The son.
Under Kennedy.
Well, that's pretty good.
When did Kennedy take office?
Kennedy would have been the 60s, I do believe.
Like it was late, right around that guy. I know,
yeah, because
he died in 62,
like right towards the right towards the start of the whole Vietnam thing, I think.
Yeah, but how things have changed since then. There's so many things people don't remember that, you know, especially these young girls that I get in here.
Shot in 63.
You know, my age. Do you remember paid toilets?
Do I remember what?
Paid toilets.
Pay toilets?
Yeah, when you went to gas stations and stuff, a lot of times you had to put a dime in to use the toilet.
No, I've never seen one of those.
Yeah. Or maybe you had to put the dime in for the toilet paper to wipe your ass. No, but that really was, you know. And nobody does anymore. I think they made that illegal.
I think that's good. I think that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
What?
You know.
I don't know why they were charged. I mean, I don't know.
They would give out free maps, but then make you pay to use the toilet. And
they gave out
booths,
free maps.
You remember phone booths?
Yes, I do remember phone booths. Now,
yeah,
I don't know that
are,
I ever saw anybody use one, but I remember them.
Yeah, those are... I've used pay phones before. I don't know if I ever went into a phone booth.
I don't know that I've ever seen a phone booth, but I've definitely seen the, pay phones.
Yeah. In England, they used to have real pretty phone booths.
Yeah.
And they still have a few.
I like the police boxes they have over there. I think they're neat looking.
Yeah. We could learn a lot from foreign countries sometimes if, you know, we put some thought to it. You know, there's a lot of things over there that, you know, they're on the cutting edge of things, too.
Well, I mean, like, I do believe Australia was the first one to, it's something like they banned they banned social media for people under the age of 16.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I think that's good.
And I think it's good. Yes, it is.
Now, you know, I think I would have been pretty upset as a person under 16 that I couldn't have the social medias, but I think that it's probably for the best. I think that social media has done a world of bad for humanity.
So many kids, you know, get bullied by that social media. I mean, I know when I was in school, a lot of times I took up for kids that got bullied, you know, because I was a pretty big boy too, you know, so, you know, I would tell them to mess with me if they want to mess with that, you know, little scrawny kid.
You know, I think that at least I was never part of it, and I never witnessed it. I mean, there was bullying. I was bullied. I mean, I know people who were bullied, you know. I mean, some of the, like, I don't know, everybody kind of bullied everybody. I mean, the popular kids got picked on, so on and so forth. But I don't think social media was around when I was in school, but I don't ever remember anybody being bullied over social media.
Well, I tell you what, they do that nowadays a lot.
Well, I mean, I don't know. People in school don't like bullies. So, I mean, the logic doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because, like, when I was in school, I mean, like, I don't know. Well, just people don't like bullies. So if you were to try to bully somebody via social media, I think you would just make yourself look like the bad guy. So I think that you probably were trying to some extent, to keep the bullying between you, your friend group, and the person you were bullying.
Yeah, just keep bagging it on, keep it going. Although you can, if you bully over social media, the school can kick you out, even though it didn't happen on school property. You can still get expelled for doing that.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think they should just make, like, I mean, I don't know. I think that's fair, I guess.
Sometimes I think if the kids do something, You have to take the parents and put them in jail. You have some parents that, you know, would start disciplining their kids. I know, I told one my age, we was talking the other day, when I was younger, if I was over at a somebody's house in the neighborhood or something like that, and I was misbehaving, and, you know, his parents, you know, paddled me, you know, with, you know, not hit me with a fist or nothing, you know, but spanked my little bottom, you know, and, you know, if I went home and told Mom and Dad, oh, you hit me, when Mom and Dad would see him, they'd say, thank you. You know, but nowadays, if you even touch anybody's kids, you know, they're all ready to sue you.
Now, I've never been, well, I might have been when I was really young. At the very least, I can never remember being whooped. But I do know that any time I would go to one of my friend's house for the first time, my mom would always want to meet their parents, you know, as it goes. And like, one of the first things my mom would always say to them is, if he's being bad, you have my permission to whoop him.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's what my parents would tell him, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's house I ever stayed at, their parents have permission to whoop me.
And you was never paddled in school, was you?
No, we didn't have the administrative punishment.
Yeah, I told one of my aides, she's not with me anymore, but about being paddled in school, and she couldn't believe it.
I don't know how.
That's a 30-year-old that.
I think they need to make some kind of.
About one time, she ain't with me no longer. We kind of got into it.
Oh well, that's no good.
No, but it's what it is.
I suppose. I mean, I don't know. I don't think administrative punishment is any good, but I don't think that the way they punish kids now is very effective.
No, it's not working now.
I mean, I don't know.
I would much rather took some paddling at school and take a chance that won't get back to Mom and Dad, rather than go home and deal with Dad.
You ever get into any fights when you were in school? I know
yeah.
We got off topic, but I don't know. I like this topic. This is interesting.
Yeah, I got in many fights. That's the reason why I got paddled so much there sometimes.
No.
But, see, Dad, I played baseball, and the principal in junior high, he was a coach of a Pleasant baseball team, and we played each other. And him and Dad got into it, and they were screaming and yelling. I thought for sure they was going to start fighting, but they never did. And then when I started going to junior high, you know, the principal thought I was a little fighter. And, you know, and I got several whacks up, you know, from him. But he soon learned that I didn't run from trouble, but I didn't cause trouble either, really. I remember this was in fifth grade, this kid broke one of my pencils because I had a small little pencil collection and was looking straight at me. And I was wondering if there was something wrong with this dude, you know. He picks up another pencil and he breaks it and he's looking straight at me. And I told him, I said, you break another one, I'll break your face. He picked up another pencil and broke it. Man, I hit him two or three times, blood going everywhere, Mrs. Young scream, you know, about ready to lose it. Yeah, I got paddled pretty good that day.
You know, I've only been in a couple of fights when I was in school, but, you know, it never really seemed like I got in trouble. I mean, I got in trouble, obviously. I mean, they sent me down to the principal's office, and I got to, like, they just kind of said, well, why'd you do that? And I told them, you know, I'd tell them why, and they'd be like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. It just didn't really seem like a whole lot happened. And then they just kind of put me in a room by myself for a while. Like, that's it.
Yeah, there was a guy that was three grades ahead of me. You know, like, kind of had a, you know, reputation. If you screwed with me or something like that, I would fight. And he, you know, always tried to give me a rough way to go and, you know, wanted me to start fighting him. So he'd have a reason to punch me, I guess. But I just ignored him. I mean, Hell, he was a lot bigger than me. I wasn't going to freaking want to fight him. And peer pressure don't bother me, you know. That's just like Terry Klein the other day. He called me, what was it? Something about a shut-in invalid or something like that. And he was saying some other stuff. And I said, yeah, Terry, yeah. And it really bugged him more that he couldn't get me going. You know, he would have liked it if I would have started coming back and, you know, starting to yell at him and stuff.
Well, I think a lot of people do like conflict. I mean, I like to argue, don't get me wrong. But, like, fun fact, I like to, like, argue, but I don't like to actually argue with them. Like, if there's anything ever actually contentious, odds are I don't really want to argue about it. But,
well,
like,
you're just debating. You want to debate
I just like to take the opposing side sometimes. Now, sometimes, you know, you mess up because sometimes, you know, you take the opposing side and the opposing side is pretty dumb. And then you end up backing yourself into a corner. You're like, I don't even really know how to defend this.
Yeah. Especially go so far, you can't kind of quit now.
Just, it's all for the love of the game.
Yeah.
But alrighty. It is 11 o'clock.
Well, you have a good one then, Matt.
You too.
Drive safely on the way home.
I will do my best.
Bye.
Bye. Alrighty. Well, with that being said, time has flown by. It's a good show, as always. I appreciate everybody for listening. You can listen live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at www.wwgh1071.com. On the free TuneIn app, you can listen just about any way that you can listen to things. But with that being said, I appreciate everybody for listening. I hope you all had a wonderful time, and I hope you all have a wonderful night. Goodbye.
Fascinating people as an actor.